So thank you very much for coming. Now, when we read this scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing to the people at Galatia, and he says to them that Abraham, that we are heirs of the covenant of Abraham. Now, we hear that, and that probably doesn't mean a whole lot to us. When they heard that, when they read that for the first time at that church, that was a jaw-dropping moment for some of those folks. Paul is teaching something incredibly important here in the early stages of the New Testament church, of this new covenant. He tells the people that through Jesus, we are heirs to the same covenant Abraham received. We read that scripture earlier in the service today, that God initiated a covenant with Abraham. His name was Abram at the time. God changed it to Abraham. And God initiated this covenant and told him that he would be the father of many nations, that he would have many heirs. And Paul tells us that through Jesus, we are heirs to that same covenant. That the covenant that God initiated, it was God's idea, God chose it, God is in relationship with Abraham and all of Abraham's descendants, and through Jesus Christ, that's all of us. All of us who are baptized into Jesus Christ, all of us that are followers of Jesus, that are believers in Jesus Christ and follow him as our Savior, we are a part of that same covenant. Now that becomes a really important thing. God initiated the relationship. This was God's idea. God initiated a relationship with Abraham. God initiated a relationship with the people of Israel. God sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, the incarnation of God himself, to pay the price for all sin so that all people can be in relationship with God. And another scripture Paul points out as he's talking about this very idea, that was 435 years prior to the law of Moses being given. 435 years prior to the law of Moses being given, God initiates a relationship. See, very often, especially in the Old Testament, there was this idea that the relationship with God comes because we keep all the rules, because we keep the law, because we keep the rituals, because we do the right thing, we think the right thing, we act the right way. That establishes a relationship with God. Paul points out, no, the relationship comes because God initiated it through Abraham, through Abraham's descendants, and through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, we are all part of that same relationship, that same covenant. See, there's a lot of people throughout the world that have a lot of ideas about God. It's amazing when you listen to people talk about God from different parts of the world, different cultures, different church traditions, different denominations. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about God. And people can pick out little pieces of scripture here and there to back it up. And so in some denominations and some ways of thinking, you have this very mean, wrathful God that's just waiting to destroy people if they mess up. And then there's people that see God as this wonderful fella, this wonderful guy that says, whatever you do, that's okay. It's okay. I get it. Do whatever you want. I still love you. And you can pick out scriptures that will back up both of those. And everything in between. People have a lot of ideas about God. And then we fight about it. We argue about it because one person's idea is different than another person's idea about God. Well, I can't solve all that today, but I can tell you this. If we look at the whole scripture all the way through, not picking pieces out here and there, but the whole thing all the way through, God is very consistent that God wants to be in a relationship of love with his creation. From the very beginning, we're told that Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. This is before sin came into the world. That God wanted relationship. God wanted a relationship with his creation. And even after the fall came, even after sin came into the world and God could have wiped the whole thing out, God didn't. He kept that relationship. And through Abraham, he established a new covenant, a new way of relating. And through Jesus Christ, that love goes to all the world. The same kind of covenant that was with Abraham, God brings that to everyone. Throughout the entire scripture, In everything God does, it is always, how do I have a relationship with my people? How do I love my people? How do I teach them how I love them? And how do I teach them to love me back? That is throughout the whole scripture. And it's so sad that we've made God into other things, that God has other agendas. Everything that God has done all the way along the way has always been about being in relationship with us. Now, God did give the law, and there's nothing wrong with that at all, but sometimes we make that into the relationship. As I said, many people think that being a Christian is just about keeping the rules. The Pharisees believed that. They didn't talk about the covenant of Abraham that much. They talked about the law of Moses. What rules are we going to keep? What rituals are we going to follow? How are we going to conduct ourselves? And how are we going to enforce that on other people? We tend to think like that, even as Christians today, that Christianity is this road that we have to follow that has a way of thinking, a way of believing, a set of doctrines, and a set of rules. Now, those can be important. I'm not saying to throw those out. I'm saying that those came after the covenant. And what Paul tells us is that in Jesus, we're part of the covenant, not part of the law. That in Jesus Christ, it's about the relationship with God. I kind of think about it like this. Now, there's not as many stop signs here in Prague. This was a better analogy when I was in the U.S. But I'm assuming you know what a stop sign is. And we have road signs, stop signs, all of these things. Now, the reason we have those things is because we don't want people running out into the intersection in their car when someone else is coming. We want people to stop and look. Now, don't you think that's pretty obvious that we need to do that? Don't you think that it would be something that everybody would do if they come to an intersection and there's cars going one way and cars going another way, that everybody would just stop and look and make sure that it's safe to proceed before they go? That's a pretty common sense thing to do. And yet, we have stop signs and we have laws that enforce that, and we will punish you if you run that stop sign. We will make sure that you pay a fine if you don't do that. Why would we need such a thing? Why would we need a silly law like that when anybody with any sense would know you have to stop before you go through an intersection? Well, it's because people don't pay attention. Sometimes they aren't thinking. Sometimes they're a little cocky about things. Sometimes they get obnoxious and think, well, they need to stop. I don't need to stop. I'll go and they'll have to stop. Sometimes we just aren't very nice. Sometimes we're thinking about other things and not really paying attention until we see a big stop sign there. All of these traffic laws are pretty common sense for the most part. We don't need them to be laws. We shouldn't need to enforce them. We shouldn't need to have fines and penalties to enforce things that everyone should do just to be safe. And yet we do, because we're flawed. We don't always think. Sometimes we're rude. Sometimes we get obnoxious. Sometimes we're just not paying attention. And so we have those things to help us do the right thing. That's what the law is. That's what the law was when God gave the law of Moses. It was a way of patterning, to follow a pattern of life, to follow God, to do the right thing, to understand what the right thing was, to follow those patterns, to have rituals that took them out of themselves and on their focus on God. All those things are important, but it's not what God's about. God is always about a relationship. God is always about a connection. You can keep every rule in the world, go through every ritual that we have in any church, and not have a connection with God. That's exactly what the Pharisees did that Jesus confronted. They had every rule, they had every regulation, they had every ritual, and yet they didn't have God. What we need in a church, what we need as Christians, is to understand that we are part of that eternal covenant that God started, even in creation, to be in relationship with those he created. And when that fell, God didn't resort immediately to setting a bunch of rules. God started a covenant with Abraham. A few hundred years later, out of necessity, to help the people of Israel establish a community, he gave them the rules, he gave them rituals, he gave them regulations. But Paul focuses not on that, but to make sure we understand that through Jesus Christ, we are part of that covenant. We are part of the covenant that God established. God is always about relationship. There may be other things that we debate. There may be other things that we discuss. There may be other things that we try to understand. But at the end of the day, God is always about relationship with us. Now, if we take that, we understand that, what are we going to do about that? So there's a lot of folks that if you say, you know, are you a good Christian? That's not a question we ask very often. But if you were to ask that question to someone, they would say, yeah, I'm probably a good Christian. I go to church on a regular basis. I do good deeds. I try not to hurt anybody. I try not to break any of the rules. Okay. How often do you pray? We've talked about that many times in this church. How often do you pray? How often do you meditate on the scriptures? How often are you in touch with God? See, we have a Christian faith today that sometimes is based on a lot of other things other than the covenant with God himself, other than a connection with Jesus Christ, the spirit that is within us. We have a lot of other priorities. There's a lot of other things that we do in order to show that we're a Christian, believe that we're a Christian, demonstrate we're a Christian, feel that we're a Christian, and yet a lot of them don't have anything to do with connection with God. Now here's the idea. If we have the connection with God, if we are praying, we are connected to God, we are meditating on the scriptures, we have a connection with the Spirit, then we're going to do all those other things very naturally. We're going to want to worship God in God's house. We're going to want to help people that are in need. We're going to want to be a good person because it becomes natural to do that when we have the Spirit. You can be a good person and not be in connection with God. You can just keep the rules. You can just follow all the laws of society and do the good deeds. That has nothing to do with being a person connected with the Spirit. If you have a relationship with God, then you're going to do the right thing. The Spirit will lead you in that. It's a matter of who you are, not what you do. If you are a person of the Spirit, if you are in covenant with God, you are in connection with God, you are a person that is following the Holy Spirit, then you're going to do the right thing. That becomes very natural. If you're not, then you can still do the right thing, but you're missing out on the whole purpose of good. You can still do the right thing where people think that you're a good person. You can still demonstrate good actions. You don't have to have God in your life to do good things according to the law and according to our culture. But that misses the point of good. It's not about just keeping a set of rules or a set of beliefs or a set of rituals. Those things come as actions from the Spirit, as worship and as response and being guided by the Spirit of God. There's a lot of people that follow a Christian tradition that don't have a relationship with God himself. And that makes for a very weak Christian tradition sometimes. We need people that will spend time praying to God, being connected to God, understanding we're in connection with the Spirit, that God wants to be in connection with us. Now, one of the hindrances to that is you think, well, you don't know what I've done. Sometimes I haven't been the right person. Sometimes I don't have the right attitude. Sometimes I don't do the right things. And I'm not so sure I can be connected with God after the things that I have done in my life or the things that I have struggled with or the attitudes that I'm fighting. Well, that's exactly why we need the Spirit. God initiated the covenant with Abraham. It was God's idea. And there were no measures at that point in the law of Moses to know if Abraham was measuring up. God looked at his heart. God looked at his heart and wanted to be in relationship with Abraham. There's no law at that point to say, well, he kept all the laws, he kept all the rules. That didn't come till hundreds of years later. It was God looking at his Spirit and wanting to be connected with Abraham that led him into that covenant. God's the one who initiates this. It's not a matter of us jumping through a number of hoops so that we can get to God, that we can do a number of things to make God like us. God likes us anyway. I didn't say God loves us. He does. But God also likes us. God loves us. And I think most people understand that. If they believe in God, they know God loves us. God likes us. He doesn't like everything we do. But that's the point of Jesus' death and resurrection. His atonement, to take care of all that other stuff. God knows exactly how to take care of all the sin in our life. He knows exactly how to deal with the struggles of our life. He's not worried about that. He likes us. He enjoys us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to be in relationship with us. He enjoys who we are and the uniqueness of each one of us. And even though he doesn't like every single thing we do, he knows how to take care of that. He knows how to make us better. One of the things that I've said for many years is God loves you exactly the way you are. He likes you exactly the way you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. It's not that he just lets everything go, that he just accepts every action in our life, no matter how sinful it is. He wants to make us better because he likes us. Because he loves us. He wants to make us better. All of this is part of the covenant that God established. None of that has anything to do with us. The covenant goes back to Abraham. The covenant is extended to all of us through Jesus Christ. We had nothing to do with any of that. The only choice we have is to decide if we want to be part of the relationship. We get to choose that. And that doesn't come through outward actions. That comes in our heart. All the outward actions will take care of themselves. If you're following the Spirit, you'll do the right thing. But you can do the right thing without the Spirit. The purpose of the church is not just to get you to do the right thing. The purpose of the church is to help you have the Spirit, to help you follow the Spirit of God. What we do here in this place, we study the Scriptures, we sing praises, we worship God in order to be connected with the Spirit of God. If you have that, you'll do the right thing. And even if you don't all the time, God knows how to take care of that. God knows how to fix those things in your life. God knows how to make you the person that he created you to be. So the question for us as Christians is, do we want that covenant? Do we want that connection with a God who loves us, with a God who likes us, who a God that wants to take care of all the stuff that's not likable in our life, and make us the person God created us to be, because God initiated the covenant with us. Through Abraham, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, God initiates that covenant. There may have been a lot of times in your life where you felt like to get where you needed to go, you had to jump through a lot of hoops. Probably at work, you feel like you have to jump through a lot of hoops and do a lot of things right to keep that job or to advance in that job or to stay out of trouble in that job. In school, we have to make the grades and you have to do all these things to make sure you're doing the right way, to make sure that you make the right grades. Maybe you were raised in a home like that. Maybe your parents or the people that raised you were people that said, you know, we love you, but we're not going to like you until you act the right way. We're not going to enjoy you until you meet these standards. And sometimes in some households, that's hard to meet. I don't know what background all of you come from, but a lot of families send a lot of messages that we're not good enough. That we're not good enough, that we have to measure up, and we never quite seem to do it. That the love is conditional in a lot of families. I hope that's not true in your family, but I know it is in a lot of families. That love was conditional. And so we bring that to our Christian faith. And we can't even imagine a God that would initiate the relationship with us, that would love us unconditionally, that would enjoy us and like us and adore us. And even though he doesn't like everything we do, he knows how to fix all of that to make us the person he created us to be. That is so hard to imagine for a lot of people that come from a family where they never measured up, where they went to school and struggled to measure up, where they work jobs where they sometimes feel they struggle to measure up. And it's hard to come into church and feel like, I'm just accepted. God just loves me. God adores me. And God wants to make me better and overcome all the stuff that I'm struggling with now. God wants to make me exactly what he created me to be. It's hard to switch our minds into that place in the relationship with God when every other place in life is about measuring up to rules and regulations and fitting in with what is expected of us. But God is different. God doesn't follow the rules of this world. God initiated the covenant with Abraham. God does give rules, he gives regulations, he gives rituals, he expects us to follow those things, but not as a way to the relationship, as a way of fulfilling the relationship that's already there, of being the person he wants us to be. And through Jesus Christ, that same covenant that God initiates is available to everyone. In the Old Testament, there were some limits to that. The heirs of Abraham were the Jewish people, and the Old Testament story follows their story. But through Jesus Christ, everything is different. Through the Son of God, the incarnation, the presence of God himself coming to this world and giving his life, and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that same covenant goes to all the world. And so we read that little scripture in Galatians, and you might not even notice when it was read today that the Apostle Paul said that we are the same heirs, that same promise of Abraham. That just kind of goes by. That is a major thing. It shows that God initiates a relationship with every single one of us. We don't have to measure up. He'll fix that. We don't have to jump through hoops. He'll show us how to go. We don't have to do something to make him like us. He already likes us. He already loves us. And regardless of how else the world may have treated you, this is the God we serve, a God that is in covenant with God's people. He knows we mess up. He just wants us to pray about it. He knows we don't understand the scriptures half the time. He just wants us to read it so he can teach us about what we need to learn. He wants us to be connected with him every day, not just going through a set of rituals on a Sunday, but using the Sunday as a way of worshiping him and propelling us through a walk with him every single day. This is how much he cares about us. And he would like for us to learn to care about him the same way. And that's why we come here. That's why we sing praises to him. That's why we study the word, and that's why we pray. Because we are in connection with God. Even if you've not always recognized that, God has already established that relationship with us. He's already established that covenant and paid the price for our sins so that we can be in his presence and be in contact with him.